morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins, landscape designer, garden author, consultant. I just love being in a garden, walking through them, just helping people with their yards and their landscapes, and I can do that this morning for you. Welcome aboard. I have my cup of tea, and I have our magical producer, Lizzie Steele. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. You forgot award-winning. How do you forget this?
I know. It's an award-winning show. I'm so appreciative of that, and it's very exciting. It's something that I've wanted for a long time, and it's just good to get recognition. So
yes,
thank you so much for that. I do want to say this is a very big weekend for my family. Tony and I want to wish our beautiful and talented granddaughter, Reagan, a wonderful and exciting 19th birthday. Grammy and Peepaw love you, honey, and we're very proud of you. So happy birthday, Reagan.
Oh, happy birthday. Oh, 19. Wow.
I know. She's just starting. She graduated last year, and she is just doing so well.
Yes.
And I have a cousin over from Scotland. He has been touring the United States up the East Coast, and his name is Scott, no pun intended. Scott from Scotland, Scott McDermott. He's enjoying his gap year, and he's visiting Florida, and he is 19, too, as well. And we're enjoying spending time with him. He's getting to know new experiences, afternoon thunderstorms, humidity, and heat. And so it's definitely not Scotland.
Wow. Has he experienced our thunderstorm?
Yes.
But did he ever experience that in Scotland?
No, Scotland in England. He lives in Newcastle, but he's from my Scottish side of the family. Yeah, no, not at all. But he is enjoying himself. And I want to send, he's going to go back home and visit all his family in Ireland and things. So just wishing everybody all our love here from across the pond.
Yes.
And a big hello to the Glenties Garden Club in Glenties, County Donegal, Ireland. They're a wonderful group, and they have beautiful gardens. So the weather this week. So, Lizzie, do you know what it means when we have red sky in the morning? Sailors take warning. You've heard that.
Yes.
And red sky at night, sailors delight.
Okay.
So we have both of them. You know, we have red skies in the morning and red skies at night. I think a little bit of that is due to the Saharan Desert that comes over from Africa. But what it means is, weather-wise, is that the weather can change very drastically, rapidly. So it can go from being nice and sunny to a thunderstorm, you know, very quickly. So we just want everyone to pay attention and be careful. And, you know, lightning, do not stand underneath trees. Did you see the video of the guy who got hit by lightning?
No, but I saw the cows.
Did you see the cows?
That's crazy,
it
yes.
It is. So right now there's just, you know, lightning can happen even if it's not raining in your area. So be very careful of that. So it's going to be a great gardening week. We do have the rainstorms coming in occasionally. It's going to be more this weekend in the interior, not on the coast. But it's going to be in the mid to high 90s. So you want to be really careful out there drinking water. You want to drink water every 30 minutes and because it can happen very quickly. I want to give a shout out to all our listeners who follow Better Lawns and Gardens on our Facebook page. And if you listen to the show and you like us and you're on social media, please like WFLA Orlando on Instagram and on Facebook, and then Better Lawns and Gardens on Facebook. And you can just shout out. You can always send me questions too, gardening questions like Nancy did last week, and I'll be talking about her question. On our Facebook, thank you for checking in. Craig and Carol, Pat, Beverly, Jorge or George, and Nancy and Tina, and all of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs and district members. We appreciate their support. They like and share our posts, so we do really appreciate it. This hour, I'm going to be answering your gardening questions. You should have the phone number in your phone so you can just dial it automatically anytime.
Yes, save us as a contact.
Yes.
Just don't butt dial us.
1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. Remember to give us your name and your location, because that will help me tell you or, you know, help you with your gardening question much better. What I would tell somebody in Miami or somebody in Texas, I would not say to the same, you know, I would not answer the same question in North Florida. So, or Georgia. Well, we have a lot of listeners in Georgia.
Yes.
And so we do want to say hello to them. And so what should you be planting right now? I will tell you the herbs that you can be planting right now. This is a great time to be planting anise and basil and bay laurel. Do you ever cook with bay?
Yes, I do.
I love bay laurel.
Yes.
And I put it in my stews and my soups.
I was going to say, it's more of like a winter type of herb. Ingredient that
yeah.
I use. Yes.
Savory, real savory and real
yeah,
rich.
Savory, I love that word.
Yes. And so bay laurel, chives, and dill and ginger, lemon balm, and Mexican tarragon. Oh, I love béarnaise sauce on steak. I love mint, and we know what we do with mint.
You keep mint in containers. I don't care how great you think your yard is going to smell with this. Please, for the love of all that's out there.
Please put it in a container.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yes. This has been a warning. This has been a service announcement award.
Yes.
Oregano, rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. So herbs can be planted now. You can be planting the seeds now. You can be doing the 4-inch pots if you buy them just directly from the nursery, the independent nurseries or the box stores. And you can plant the herbs in your landscape and have an edible landscape. So you want to be real, just real careful what you do, but you can be planting them in the border. You can be planting creeping thyme along your pathway, and that will smell so good when you walk there. And at night, you're sitting on your patio, you'll be able to smell it. We're going to have a great show today. I'm going to be answering your questions. And in the second hour, you ever wanted to have water or garden? Well, we're going to be talking to the best, the pond monster, in the second hour. So this Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to the Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We are here for you answering your gardening questions. And I just wanted, we have that Saharan Desert effect going on. And so it's coming over, but we have some storms out there in the Atlantic, but they're not going to affect Florida. So nothing is in the atmosphere right now and nothing heading. So we're doing good for this summer.
Yeah, but still stay up on your hurricane supplies because those that are new to this, it'll probably be maybe September, October before we get hit.
Exactly. And so let's go to Donald in Daytona Beach. Good morning, Donald. How can
good morning,
I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I really love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I called you last year about I made some raised beds for my tomato plants, mm-hmm. but this year it was so hot so early, I think I might have planted them too late. When is the best time for you to plant tomatoes, and what varieties do you recommend?
You can go ahead.
In the past, I've always had good luck with cherry tomatoes, but I don't do so well on the bigger varieties.
Right. Well, you can plant cherry tomatoes any time of the year. Okay, so those, you know, the sweet 100s and sweet million, and the golden tomatoes, the cherry tomatoes, and the Everglades tomato. You can plant those any time of the year, Donald. But what are you trying to plant? Seeds?
I know I've heard you say before in the past, Teresa, that the tomatoes don't put out fruit after 85 degrees or something.
That's...
But we got so hot so early over here in Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been over 85 degrees since late March, early April.
Right. So. No, I agree with you. But cherry tomatoes are a little bit different. They can be pollinated all year round. So your bigger tomatoes,
great.
You can't. They don't pollinate well after it gets to be 85 degrees. But cherry tomatoes you can do all year round.
Now, what would you recommend? Just not even trying the bigger tomatoes? Like, can I plant them? Like, I think I planted them like in late January, early February, but they didn't have time enough to fruit before it got too hot.
Right. No, now's the time to be planting tomatoes. So go ahead and plant them. By the time they start to have flowers on them, if you're planting them now, and their seeds, it'll still be cool at the end of September
great.
And October. So you'll be able to have tomatoes all fall. Okay, so
great.
Go ahead
yeah,
and plant them now.
I, I either planted them too late last year or I didn't really understand the planting time. But like I said, I've had good luck with the cherry tomatoes. But
yes.
What were the varieties you mentioned again?
Oh, Sweet 100s and Sweet Millions. There's all kinds of different kinds. There's Black Magic and Black Midnight for the black tomatoes. And then also Everglades tomato, if you can grab some seeds.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Thank you very much, Teresa.
Before you go, Donald, so you can plant tomatoes in the early spring, that'd be February, March, okay, and they should be able to have some tomatoes, I'm talking about the larger varieties, before it gets really super hot, and then you plant them again in August and September. So you've got two times a year to plant the larger ones.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Teresa.
You're welcome, hon. Take care. Bye-bye. And that was Donald in Daytona Beach. And if you have a gardening question, you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or 1 or 23680. You can text and give us a message there. Let's go to Bill in Georgetown. Good morning, Bill. Let's hear all about your watermelons.
Well, first I'd like to say about that previous caller, there's a variety of cherry tomato that I really like. It's called Wild Cherry, and it's got a lot of flavor, and I just thought I'd mention that.
Oh, I'm going to try that now. So thank you. Wild Cherry. Okay, Wild Cherry tomatoes. Okay, super. And and so how's your watermelons doing?
Okay, it's hanging there. Now, if I wanted to send you a picture through my neighbor, what address do I, email address or whatever?
You can email me at Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A dot, make sure you put the dot in there, Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S, Teresa dot Watkins, at live, which is what we want our plants to be, live, live.com.
Okay. I'll try to remember that. I didn't write it down. But
okay. Well, you can always go back and listen to the show.
Okay. It's hanging there, but when you had Tom McCubbin on as a guest, I asked him, I said, how can I tell when this thing's going to be ripe? He said, well, when the tendrils turn brown.
Yes.
The watermelon. Okay, well, that one has turned brown, and the leaves have turned brown, but the stem is still green. And there's another watermelon about 6 feet farther down that the leaves are still green and it's still growing. So how do I tell when this thing's ready to pick?
Okay, so again, thumping it, you know, that was one of the other advice that Tom said, thumping it.
I don't know, you're talking to an ignoramus when it comes to that. I don't know whether
you're not thumping savvy. Okay, so, but I would just say it's going to be ready before Labor Day. So if you want to in the next couple of weeks, you can, you know, and it'll stay in your house and you can just bring it inside and keep it cool and without cutting it. It'll stay for, you know, a week or so to 10 days or so without any problem whatsoever. So I would probably give it another week, and then, you know, for Labor Day, you can cut them open.
Can it get overripe?
No.
So I should be good either way, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is you're going to be good either way.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'll try to get you a picture of this.
Oh, that would be great. And then what you do, Bill, is in the future, find the seeds, because some watermelons take, you know, 75 days, some take 90. Go ahead and mark it on your calendar when the harvest date is, when you plant the seed. And then
I'm not going to be growing one again. This was a fluke. I'm too old and I don't care anymore. And I was just trying to do this.
You just want to
do it.
There you go. Okay.
And so I had it hanging off the rail, and I thought, well, that'll be a unique thing. And it's probably about 10 pounds or whatever. And I thought, that's pretty. Now, I do have a rope underneath it to kind of support it a little bit in case it fall breaks. But no, I just wanted to do it as a fluke, because it was a seedless watermelon. Of course, they always have a few seeds in them. And I went ahead and planted them, and one came up, and I got it to grow, and I got a watermelon, and so it's a talking point. That's all it is.
There you go. Well, you have everybody in Better Lawns and Gardens world hanging on your, you know, updates. Okay.
I hope not.
Okay, Bill.
All right.
Thank you. Let us know how it tastes. Yeah. All right. Bye bye. Let's go to Alan in Montverde. Good morning, Alan. How can I help you?
Well, here, piggy, I have your favorite weed. I want to share a thing with you. I should have known better.
Yes.
Got compost from a local person. First load was great. Second load, I guess they've been pulling from the dairies down south.
Mm-hmm.
I have explosions. I've got like 5 100-gallon tubs. It's my overflow. And all I do now is harvest greens, not the kind of greens I want. But
right.
Pigweed, it is an explosion. And I wanted to let your listeners know, and you can probably give more of a history on it than I am, but from by the time they're 2 inches tall, you better be wearing gloves because they've got their wonderful defensive thorns. System in it. And I've been trying to stay on them. I need the soil. I really know what I need to do is a solarization. Uh-huh. That would probably just clear plastic, kill it. But I need the soil. But I don't know if this person is the supplier, was aware of it, an older person. But it's been great, great prices, and sometimes the best deals aren't always the best deals. But the pigweed isn't. It is. Like, I came out there, I was on a citrus expo this past week, and it was really neat. And I should have asked some of my USDA and IFAS people about it for how to prevent this. It's not really when you go on the, you know, you go and Facebook, you find a spot and you get it, and it's great, and it smells good and looks good, and it was from load to load. It's been this way. Uh-huh. I want to let your listeners know about that.
Sure.
And, we are out there twisting it and turning it every couple of days just to rupture the seeds, and it's, as you know, it's a weed that, well, I pulled it up and laid it on the ground. Watch out. It will, even though it's laying on the ground,
yes,
the weeds will die. It will reroot itself and continue
it is
on with the
strong.
Vengeance.
They are strong survivors. I mean, it's incredible how Mother Nature does that. You know, you want to plant lovely flowers, yeah, and turf. And
yes, and just take from my experience, because our yard is overloaded with them and stuff, and we did the same thing that you did, Alan, is that we got a bunch of soil brought in. Yeah, topsoil brought in. And it was beautiful. And then I put it out, and all of a sudden, and we call them stinging needles, which I think that may be a different breed. But let me tell you what, if you were actually new to this, I found that A, you need gloves, but B, if you can dig the soil down, don't touch it, but dig it around, there's less needles down in the ground where the root is, and that's how, and you have to pull it all the way out, but it's still, oh my goodness, sir.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides, of just getting compost that's
but
not
don't just
a,
grab it.
A production
well,
one.
The other one, too, is you find it in horse manure. It's like free compost horse manure. There's probably a reason why, folks, but, you know, buyer beware. But I'm a Sergeant Carter's Gomer Pie. I'm a blockhead. I get so irritated. Time to put gloves on. That takes time. Just grab it and go. If you pull it from the bottom, you kind of pull it, funnel it up the leaves and pull it, the leaves protect a little bit. But I've tried not to keep it there. Another Gomer pile that I did, I left my Christmas cactuses to get rain, and somebody forgot to bring them in for 2 days, and now they're desert brown. Will they survive and bounce back? They're in the shade where they belong now, but
they
I think
will.
The damage is pretty much done on them.
No, you'll start to see new growth on them, so go ahead and just keep babying them and just let them dry out a little bit.
Just a little suggestion. It's just me. Maybe it's potentially a program about weeds and buyer beware kind of approach with the things you pick up. Because as you know, pigweed is all through Southeast United States, and it does. You could spray pure Roundup on it, and it goes. Got some more for me?
Yeah, there you go. It'll take it and say, "I would like, please, sir, more."
But anyway, have a great weekend.
So, Alan, I just need to ask you. You've made some references. So, can you sing beautifully?
Only rests.
Gomer Pyle, he had a lovely voice, so he did. Jim Neighbors. All right, hon.
I play tuba, and my wife sings in the choir, and there's a reason we do that. So she's on one, and I'm on the other.
Thank you.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, too, Alan. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I love him.
That is awesome.
But, you know, it's really, there are certain weeds that if it gets into your containers or your yard, you just have it forever, and it's really difficult. Artillery weed is like that.
Is it?
Artillery weed, chamber bitter is like that. Pigweed is like that. And it's just the downside that some of these weeds do have thorns, and when you're pulling them up, you know, you better have gloves.
And what I found is it doesn't, you think that you're that close to the ground that, oh, there's not going to be any needles right there, and they're little. So that's why I say I have to dig the soil around, and it's so...
And just pull the root
pull
up.
The root, grab down to the root the best that you can, and then pull it, because that's the only way you're going to try to help get rid of it.
Yeah,
so.
You know what's in my yard right now? That poinsettia weed. It's in the poinsettia euphorbia family, and it's 3 foot tall in certain areas of my yard. I just got to have to go and pull them up, so...
Put some Christmas lights on it.
If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. back to Better Lawns and Gardens. You're in the second half hour. We'd love to take your gardening questions. We've had a busy morning so far. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. Well, it's hot now, and when we think of the dog days of summer, we think of it as being now in August, but the dog days of summer ended this week and on the 13th. So the last dog days of summer, they're the hot, heavy weeks from July 3rd through August 11th. And ancient civilizations, why they call it the dog days of summer, they tied this season, the heat of the summer, to the rising of Sirius, the dog star, which appears in the eastern sky just before dawn in mid-August. So the Greeks believed Sirius added extra heat to the summer, and the Egyptians, when they saw the first appearance, was always signaling the annual flooding of the Nile. So that's the event that helped sustain their crops, their agriculture. They depended on the Nile flooding. And today we know Sirius doesn't affect our weather, but the folklore remains, and that's why we talk about the dog days of summer. Romans would blame the Sirius dog star rising for droughts and fevers and general misery. So we do have drought, and we do have general misery, but I don't think it's the dog star that's doing that. So the next time you're going to be able to see the Sirius from Florida will be September 22nd. And it's one of those simple sky-watching moments that my cousin Danny, he was all into astronomy, that connects us to thousands of years of history. That we're looking at something that, you know, the ancient Greeks and the ancient Egyptians, they looked at too and depended on for their forecasting. Luckily, we don't do that now. So Wednesday is August 19th is National Potato Day. And it's celebrated one of the world's most important food crops. It is third next to wheat and rice. And humans consume more than 370 million metric tons of potatoes every year. And it's just, I love potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. I love baked potatoes. I love sliced potatoes, casserole potatoes. I just love potatoes.
I love potatoes, but you know the one potato that I really, really absolutely can't stand?
What?
Hash browns.
Really?
I don't know what it is. I don't
know. Oh, they got to be seasoned.
Yeah, even seasoned. I don't know if it's just because they're like so thin. Or they're burnt.
Yeah, they shouldn't be burned.
Well, you know what I'm saying. They're really brown.
They're fried. They're hash browns.
It's too much browns. it's too much brown for me.
Okay, so what kind of gravy do you put on your mashed potatoes?
It depends on what I'm eating.
Yes.
Okay, so if it's a steak, yes, then probably a brown gravy. If it's like a chicken fried steak if it's like
sausage
chicken
gravy.
Just white gravy.
White gravy's good,
yes,
too.
So yes, like if it's like chicken.
Country gravy.
Yeah, so if it's like a chicken version or even if it's chicken fried steak, then that I do the white gravy.
Oh, chicken fried steak is wonderful.
Yes.
So so long before potatoes reached Europe, the potatoes were cultivated and protected in the Andes. Okay, so the Papa Arawa descendants, pre-Incan cultures in Peru are the original potato guardians. For thousands of years, they preserved potato diversity in its center of origin, and it's a legacy still honored today by the International Potato Center, whose logo features Papa Arawa caring for potatoes. And so Sir Walter Raleigh is often credited with helping introduce potatoes to Ireland in the late 1500s, which was a lifesaver. It did help the Irish people with poverty and food for a while, and then the Irish potato famine happened. But it reshaped European agriculture. So today, there are over 4,000 potato varieties worldwide, including more than 3,000 native Andean types safeguarded in the International Potato Center's gene bank in Lima, Peru. But it's my second favorite vegetable, and I love it every way. My first favorite, can you guess my first favorite vegetable?
Green beans?
I like green beans. No, green beans are good. Onions.
I love onions. I can eat an onion raw.
I could eat an onion raw. I love them. I eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I love growing them, and they're easy to grow.
I love them so much that whenever I'm cutting them and I'm crying, it has nothing to do with the onion. It's just I'm so happy. I'm like, I'm going to get to eat you.
Yes, I know the feeling. And it's just more onions, please. So I do love that. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680.
Have you ever had an onion sandwich?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's the best. It's like, especially when there used to be Merita white bread. I take Merita white bread and then put some Duke's mayonnaise on it.
Yes.
And then I put a few thin, it had to be thin slices, yes. But a lot of them, but thinly sliced onion.
Yes.
Especially Valdelia.
Yeah, Tony says, when he's cooking burgers, he says, do you want sauteed onions? I go, yes. He goes, do you want raw onions? I say, yes. Raw and sauteed on the same burger.
Whenever I get a steak and cheese, I have to explain myself. I go, I would like grilled onions. And then when you're done, will you put raw onions on top of it? And they go, you want both? And I'm like, duh.
Yeah. What are they thinking? There you go. So what should you be doing in your landscape right now? Well, I will tell you, Pete from Miami, he emailed me and he says, my grass is looking sad, turning brown. Can I fertilize it? And what fertilizer should I use? Hang in there, Pete. We do not want to fertilize right now. It is too hot. Okay. Thank you for asking, though, before you did it. Due to the intensive heat we just experiencing through the state, lack of rain, it's not a good time to fertilize. But then also, too, with the water management district and the city and counties, they have bans on fertilizing right now. And yes, it's kind of an oxymoron because you're supposed to fertilize when the plants are growing. So you would think that fertilizing turf now because it's growing and we have the rain would be good. But in reality, when you fertilize, and a lot of people do it before a rainstorm comes. Have you ever heard that? That you, okay, it's going to rain this afternoon. I better get my fertilizer down. No, you don't want to do it. You want to fertilize after the rainstorm. One, because if you fertilize before a rainstorm and it's really heavy, like we've been getting these downpours, you can lose 75% of your fertilizer to stormwater runoff, which means it just rolls right off your yard into the stormwater drain and into the lakes, which causes algae blooms. Okay, you don't want to do that. You want to fertilize after the storm so that if you need to water it, the ground is soaked, the turf won't burn because you can burn with fertilizer, and it'll be hydrated. It can take it. Also, too, it's just important that we do have the rainfall, we do have the heat, and the grass is growing. But if you don't like mowing your lawn, why are you fertilizing it?
Well, also, and how about this? If you are a money person and you like to pay attention to where your money goes, I want you to pretend that your money, the cash, I want you to take a few $1 bills, okay? Take them out to your yard, all right? Dump that, and then I want you to take a hose, and then watch where your money blows, or take a blower and blow it, because that's exactly what you're doing with putting the fertilizer out. You're washing all that money away.
Exactly, and so it's very important. So, Pete, right now, I would wait until October 1st, which is the ban gets taken off, and you'll be able to fertilize then. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week is in honor of the school starting and all the opportunities for hands-on science projects. So here are my top five vegetables to propagate in water. These vegetables are reliable, fun, and perfect for demonstrating how plants regenerate from kitchen scraps. You'll need a clear glass, fresh water, bright indirect sunlight, toothpicks, and the vegetables. Number one, bok choy. To regrow bok choy, begin by trimming off the base of the plant, removing approximately 2 to 4 inches from the bottom, and then put it into the glass of water. You can stabilize it with toothpicks. Within 3 to 4 weeks, you will see new roots developing, and allow it to continue to grow for about 30 days, at which point it'll be able to be planted in the garden. Number two, potatoes. You can celebrate Potato Day Wednesday with a large Idaho potato with sprouting eyes that can be divided for propagation, or you can put the potato, cut it in half, and insert toothpicks and place it in the water up to the bottom. You want to make sure the bottom's covered. And then refresh the water every 3 days. That's important for all of these vegetables. Within 2 to 3 weeks, you will have enough roots developed. In about 4 weeks, you can plant the rooted piece. Number three, garlic. Garlic sits too long in the bin. Separate the bulb and remove a sprouting clove, or just place the clove that's dry in the water with the base down in the water. You want to fully cover the whole entire base. Refresh the water every 3 or 4 days. Once the green shoot reaches 3 to 4 inches, you can trim it off and use it immediately in breads, egg dishes, salads, soups, and more. Number four, scallions, my favorite. When I harvest scallions, I bring them home from the grocery store. I immediately trim off the root ends. This simple start helps them keep longer in the refrigerator. Thank you. And I've got just two more. Though I love them so often, I use them so often, they rarely sit for long. You want to place the rooted ends, the bulbs, cut about an inch off the bottom, and in a clear jar bowl with enough water to cover the white portion. Refresh the water every 3 to 4 days, and in about 2 weeks, the scallions will regrow. You can either plant them in a pot or snip the new green leaves for cooking and just have them growing right there on your counter in the water. Number five, celery. Cut the bottom 2 to 3 inches from the celery stalk. Insert toothpicks around the midpoint and rest the base in a short glass that's filled with water about 1 inch below the cut end, and or 1 inch above the cut end. Refresh the water every 3 to 4 days. The roots form in 1 to 2 weeks, and the celery is ready to transplant in 3 to 4 weeks. So those are all my vegetables for school projects, if you'd like to do those with your children, or just continue to have vegetables coming up on your counter, you can propagate them in water.
Oh, I love this. I love this because I do that. Like whenever I want to, like I don't have time to plant a plant, I'll like chunk it into like a bucket of water.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, I'm like, oh, wow, there, that's what I did with it. So it's a 50-50 shot.
And it's got all these roots, right?
It's that or it's dead.
There you go. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Teresa. I got a couple questions because you just brought one up.
Okay.
On these rooting, is there a publication or something available on doing that rootings of these different vegetables?
Yes, I can guarantee you. If you just will Google, when you go on the internet, Jerry, Google potatoes or vegetables to propagate in water, you will have hundreds of articles coming up, and they all say the same thing. So it's very easy to look for it on the internet, and you can just download it.
I'll do that. Thank you, Teresa. And the first question I had asked Lizzie is the tropical spinaches or the spinaches that grow in Florida year-round, mm-hmm. like Longevity.
Sure.
Okinawa. Let's see. Suriname. I've had good luck with Suriname and Longevity. I didn't have good luck with Okinawa.
Huh.
Malabar is too, I don't know, too flimsy. It doesn't have the vigor that I need on there. So what do you recommend on the growing those spinaches? Are there other kinds of spinaches?
There's lots more spinaches. I don't know if you'll find them available in the stores or in the nurseries, but there's dozens and dozens of more spinaches. But Japanese spinach, you got Korean spinach. There's lots more. But I think the Longevity tastes really good, the Korean one. And then Longevity is my favorite. I do like Malabar, and I haven't had any trouble with it being too flimsy. So does it get enough light? Because you live in the shade. You have a lot of shade around your yard, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of shade. And also I get very cold weather there. And, of course, I maybe expect too much from it. I don't know.
Well, I can understand that. But it might just need a little bit more sunlight so it's not so flimsy.
Oh, okay. That's what I got to do. More sun.
Okay.
On the Malabar. And anything else? Any recommendations on any of the other ones? Because I really like the Longevity. It keeps coming back.
Yeah. The Longevity is really good.
It's doing great now, too. But it's got little bitty purple flowers on it.
Uh-huh.
And you could eat the whole thing. You know?
You can. And I bet it looks pretty in a salad. So that's good.
Yeah, it does.
So I would love to see your yard, Jerry. That's you sound like you have a wonderful yard with your rose mallow, and
people come by, they say it's too dense.
What do they know?
Yeah, well, it's growing a lot of food. I tell you that.
There you go. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much, Jerry. Let's go to Rob in Christmas. Good morning, Rob. How can I help you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm better than I deserve.
Ah.
Anyway, I've got some blood lilies, and I've got a somebody gave me a couple of them, and they seem to be spreading. Is there any way to? I don't know. Are they bulbs that you can?
They are bulbs. Yeah, and you can divide them. Sure.
When should I do that?
Well, you can do them now, and this is when I would advise you to do them, only because you want them to be hardened off and settled before the winter time comes. So go ahead in the next 3 or 4 weeks, just dig them up, see how much, and you can just split the bulbs just a little bit, and they will growing on each other, and just very gently take them off and plant them, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You guys are great. You guys are great. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Rob. Aww, call anytime.
Thank you.
Yes. We're good. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have Lloyd Lightsey. He is the pond monster.
That's cool.
He is cool. And I've worked with him for a long time. And he installs all my clients' water features, but he does little bubbling water, features, and then he does huge, huge koi ponds. And so I wanted him to come on, and he's going to give us a lot of great information. Now, Pete in Miami, you did talk about fertilizing right now, and I do want to say this, so that because we can't fertilize right now, basically generally throughout the entire state, this is the time that you can use to go ahead and take a soil test of your soil and send it in to the Extension office and the University of Florida, and they will tell you exactly what fertilizer you need to use on your turf and your landscape and your fruit trees and your vegetables. So this is the time. It only takes about 3 weeks to submit it and get it back. And we use a soil test that I recommend. It's called Agritech Soil Kit. Agritech Soil Kit. And you can go into the Extension offices and pick one up. You can get one. They do charge for them about $30. But that covers for the soil test that you're going to receive back, or the analysis. And or you can go online, and it's called Agritech Soil Kit. And they'll ship it to you in the mail, and you'll get it right away within a week. You send it off, and by the end of September, you will know exactly what to put on your landscape, your agriculture, your crops, your raised beds on October 1st. Okay, so take this time to find out what you're working with. Your soil may be great. Your pH may be different than you thought it was. I just did soil tests for a community about two and a half months ago now, back in June. And it was amazing how the one house and then their neighbors had two different pHs. And then a couple of streets over, that house had a different pH. And so your neighbors aren't going to have maybe the same soil as you do, especially if you live in older sections of the town. And it's not a citrus grove that has been, redeveloped and houses have sprung up on it. So if you live in older neighborhoods, or even, neighborhoods that are 20 to 30 years old, then you might have not issues with your soil, but it's good to know what the pH is and what fertilizer to use. There you go. I guess Lizzie wants to go.
It's literally just, I'm so sorry to
That's
our listeners.
Okay. That's okay.
So loud.
Thank you to everyone who called today. We have another great hour. You don't want to miss the Pond Monster. He's coming up right in the next hour. And you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or text us 23680. Don't miss the second hour if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
And if you want to recap any of the shows, you can catch them all on betterlawnsandgardens.com or betterlawns.com.